Hello everyone, welcome to the 21st episode of South Asian Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. It has been said that India is facing a water crisis, where parts of the country have seen droughts that have dried reservoirs up. On the other hand, other parts of the country have also been hit with severe floods. To make sense of this, we speak to Professor Robin Jeffrey, visiting research professor at ISIS, to dissect this conundrum and also discuss the factors that are influencing India's water needs. Welcome, Prof.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, Prof, perhaps we'll start off a bit more analyzing some of the circumstances that are affecting India's water consumption. So based on the trend of urbanization in India, where 600 million people are expected to live in urban areas by 2030, what is the impact of that on India's water needs?
It will increase needs in many ways, and it will complicate the use of water. Urban people tend to require more water in order to keep themselves clean and to keep their cities clean. So there will be a call for more water and, of course, better sanitation use with water. That involves sewage, which requires a lot of water to flush drains, and then it requires pure water for people to drink. So already most Indian cities have water problems in the summer. Those water problems are likely to increase, and it will intensify the competition for water between urban areas and agricultural ones. At the moment, somewhere between 75% and 80% of water used in India goes for agriculture. Well, that share is going to be eaten into in the course of the next 20 years by the demands of increasingly growing cities.
Right. Well, you mentioned this trade-off with agricultural needs. How do you see this trade-off playing out in terms of India's urban water needs going forward? And can the agricultural sector then be more water efficient as a response?
I think water efficiency is crucial in all of this, both in the urban and the rural environment. At the moment, 60% of India's population is still rural, and there's a huge requirement for water in agriculture, but that water isn't necessarily always being used as efficiently as it could. The estimates indicate that probably 15% of irrigated land, 15% of Indian land is irrigated, but only about 5% of that land is irrigated using drip feeding or more technically advanced forms of minimizing the use of water and maximizing its good effect on agriculture. So that's a hopeful sign, because it's something that can be improved on. It simply requires the right sorts of incentives for agriculturalists. But some of the agricultural practices of simply opening canals and flooding fields is unnecessary and wasteful of water. And this is a problem, of course, shared with agriculture, large-scale agriculture all over the world. As far as cities go, the problem with many Indian cities is that, again, so much water flows out as wastewater rather than, which both pollutes groundwater sources and rivers, but of course is also wasting water that could be recycled and reused. Here in Singapore, the city is very good. The city state of Singapore is very good at reusing its water supplies, even to the point of creating bottled water called New Water, which people are prepared to drink. Now, India is a long way, I think, from being in a position of creating drinkable water out of their wastewater, but certainly a great deal of water that simply flows into the sea or into rivers could be reused for industrial and other sorts of civic purposes.
Right. No, at the beginning of this episode, in my preamble, I spoke about the sort of conundrum facing India currently, with droughts in one part of the country and floods in the other. Your best guess as to why you think this is happening?
Certainly, the most notorious floods we've had, I think, in the last 2 years have been in Kerala, which is usually a water self-sufficient state with heavy but not necessarily torrential rainfalls. What's happened in Kerala in the last 2 years has been extraordinarily heavy rain, coupled with a great deal of industrial and civil building, that is, urban residences. And a lot of this building, of course, is going on across drain channels. The planning, I think, is not good enough in most Indian cities to prevent developers from building new housing and industrial complexes on top of areas which were once paddy fields and are very low-lying. So as soon as you get very heavy rain, you suddenly find that the new house or the new condominium is 10 feet deep in water as a result of flooding and water finding its natural course, which was down the channel in which the new development's been built. So this kind of urban planning needs to be much improved to minimize the distress it causes when there are heavy rains in areas that once were totally free for water to flow into the sea as a result of the agriculture that was going on there. So planning urban use is absolutely essential. For the drought-stricken areas, again, better management of the water that exists, and probably certainly in the south, more tank building of the kind that existed many generations before, with tanks being used to capture water, sequester it, and then be able to draw on it in times of drought.
Right. So before we go, and perhaps this is a habit of of ours being here in Singapore, and always looking towards government intervention in any issues that come about. In terms of India's water needs, do you think are there any policies in place or they are being considered that will be a game changer in this regard?
Certainly, there have been policies going back at least 35 years. We had our first Ganga River cleanup campaign begin in 1985, and that has gone on for many years with some small successes, but no major ones. The latest policy, of course, is the Jal Shakti Abhiyan, which is an attempt to, empower the people who are providing water resources and to give the whole country a sense of the urgency of controlling water. So there is a new central policy designed to conserve water, purify water that's been used for waste already, and to use water more effectively and wisely. So the policy action is being stated. It's one thing, of course, to have a policy. It's another to put it into operation and to make it work effectively.
Sure. Well, thank you, Prof, for sharing with us your thoughts. I think this is a interesting, conundrum and interesting problem that India is facing, especially as we see more urbanization in India and certainly other parts of the world as well, including in South Asia. It'll be interesting for us also to observe this from here, from Singapore, and how we, and certainly the private sector can help perhaps get involved in this problem for India.
Yes, I think the more effective use of water is a problem worldwide. I live most of the year in Australia, and Australia is facing acute water shortages on its two major rivers. And big questions are being asked about the appropriateness of some kinds of agriculture and also the use of water in those forms. So there's going to be pressure, I think, all over the world for improved methods of irrigation for agriculture. That's probably a good thing because it will bring down the sorts of products that allow that improved irrigation. It will bring down their prices if more and more such commodities are manufactured. And that's probably a good thing long term. So there are encouraging small signs in all of this water crisis.
Thank you, Prof. On that very positive note, thank you very much. And we will, dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this session of South Asia Chat. And we hope to bring to you the next episode very soon and look forward to joining you then. Thank you and have a great week ahead.